We've been focusing all of this month on the different Reformation truths of grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone, and Christ alone. And now it comes time to, in a sense, put all of that together to strive and hear all that God would have us know and do and live and celebrate in this wonderful Reformation Day that He's given to us. As we do that, I want to try to weave together the two scriptures that you heard, the epistle lesson, as well as the gospel lesson, along with a little extra scripture from John chapter 6, to try, I hope, to have this make some sense for us. You heard in that epistle reading that it is not possible for us to be saved by our works, for us to earn anything from God by the works that we would do. There's not enough we could ever possibly do. And yet, it was interesting that in John chapter 6, just two chapters earlier than the gospel reading we're going to look at today, that some of the Jews said to Jesus, "What must we do to do the works that God requires?" Even though it's been known ever since the Garden of Eden that there is a stain upon us of sin that causes us to fear, to hide, to lie, and then all the shame and guilt that comes associated with all of that. That stain of sin is so deep, there's no way you and I can get it out. Now, we probably know a little something about stains, or I don't know, perhaps none of you are as sloppy an eater as me. But it seems that whenever I manage to sit down for barbecue, somehow, some way, some sauce finds itself onto my shirt. And maybe it's the combination of the sauce along with the dripping, moist brisket. Somehow, some way, that sauce and that oil get inside of one of my shirts, and it doesn't matter what I try. Soda water won't get it out. The special color-safe bleach, you know, that they sell now, won't get it out. Putting on the pre-wash stuff won't get it out. And really, the only thing that I found is if I want to turn whatever my favorite shirt, whatever color it was, turn it to white, I could put it in the washing machine with a lot of bleach, and then it would be fixed. But then it wouldn't be my favorite shirt anymore. If you've been there, if you've had a stain on your shirt or a piece of clothing you couldn't get out, or if you have been walking around with a stain, with a guilt, with a shame inside your own heart, then you know there isn't anything we can do to get it out. The Jewish people knew that, but yet somehow, some way, they thought maybe if we did enough good things, if we could maybe string a whole bunch of them together, kind of the equivalent of the bleach pen plus the color safe bleach plus the pre-wash. You get what I mean? Try to see if somehow, come on, is there a combination we miss, Jesus? How can we do the works that God requires? Jesus' answer there in John chapter 6 is remarkably consistent with what Paul says also. There isn't any work you and I can do, but the work done by Jesus Christ, saved by faith alone, through the grace alone that He reveals to us by His perfect life, by His sacrificial death, by His glorious resurrection, that gift is the work. Well, what's interesting is, as Jesus told them that in a sense that He's saying, I'm the one that's coming to do it. I'm coming to do a work you cannot do. And it's as if you need to be as dependent on Me as food itself. When He says, you know, I am the bread of life. This seems so confusing to them. We're used to doing. We're used to trying to string together. We're used to trying to find the combination. At least show God we're sincere. But when they heard, no, it's all going to be Me doing it for you, they didn't want to hear that they couldn't do anything for themselves. And so as it says there in John 6, it was sad. Many of them left. But you know what's sadder still? What's sad is that many left Jesus at that point. But what would be sadder still is if you and I left and thought it's all still dependent on Me. Somehow, some way, I need to make a contribution. Somehow, some way, maybe grace alone means Jesus does 99.9%, but I still have to do my 0.1% or 0.1 thousandth of a percent or whatever it is. Somehow, if we go away thinking, well, you know, my sin's so bad, my shame, my guilt is so bad, I have to do something. But Jesus says, no. If we go away today, not depending on this grace alone, not rejoicing in and trusting in Jesus alone, it will be sadder still. Sadder still, not only for our own souls, but it means then we won't be carrying that message out to the souls around us who need him so much more, who need him just as much as you and I do. When Jesus saw those crowds leaving, when he saw they didn't want to trust in Christ alone and grace alone, he turned to his disciples, the one who had watched him feed the 5,000 from 5 loaves and 2 fish, the one who had seen him walk on water, the one who had watched him raise the dead and drive out demons. He turned and asked them, "Do you feel like the rest? You don't want to go away too, do you?" Jesus asks that question in the negative, and scholars tell us that's a way of somebody having the hope, "You don't really want to go away, do you? You want to stay, don't you? Right? Please? I hope?" You can hear a hopefulness in Jesus' voice in that way, a leaning forward, a longing in the heart of God for us to give up our own efforts and to fall back on his grace, to trust him and him alone. This is what you and I are being invited to. This is the offer. And in trying to give an answer for the 12 disciples, that perhaps even could be an answer coming from our own hearts and our own mouths, Simon Peter stood up and was the spokesman for them all. And he said, "Lord, yes, I know they're leaving, but where could we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. I know we can listen to our favorite news channel. I know we can listen to our trusted reporter, read our papers, check out the financial markets and everything else. I know we could see what science has to say, but the ultimate truth, the truth that really is underneath all of those truths, the truth that is the ultimate truth for us and for our eternity, is the truth that Jesus not only has the words of eternal life, but he is the word of eternal life. The word that says to you, you're forgiven. The word that says to you, you are free. The word that says, when we said in that word that our God is an awesome God, when we said that he is our fortress and our strength, that didn't just mean for all of them. That meant for us. That meant for you. That meant for me. When we hold on to that, Jesus said in the gospel reading, that's when real freedom starts. When we hold on to that word, here's how Martin Luther did it. Once he was having, what do you want to call it, a dream, a vision, whatever it was, but he was having this sense that Satan was just ticking off sin after sin after sin of all the sins Martin Luther had done, and his despair just started to grow. If I remember correctly, this story happened when he was trying to translate the Bible. You can imagine some of what Satan might have poured on him. "Who do you think you are, little monk from Germany? Who do you think you are that you could take the holy word of God and somehow you think you know it well enough to translate it? You with this sin and that and all of the other." Martin Luther tells the story that he felt so trembling, so fearful, so hanging his head in shame until he remembered the grace of God. Then he was so emboldened, he even said, "Satan, thank you for sharing that list with me of my sins. I'd actually forgotten some of them. You left a few out now that you've got my mind thinking about it. You left out that I did this and this and this. But what is a greater truth still is the truth of Jesus, that his grace is greater than all of my sin. And his grace to you is greater than all of our fears, all of our failings, all of those ways when we feel like we just can't ever measure up. We stop trying and we let his grace come in. We say, like Peter, you have the words of eternal life, and you speak that word to me, and you died as that holy word for me, and you rose again as that righteous word for me, and you give that to me. Only Jesus alone has those words. You and I won't find them on Fox News or CBS Radio or any other place in this world. Only Jesus is going to speak that word to you. You're loved. You're forgiven. There is nothing in this world that ever could snatch you out of my hand. There is nothing in this world you will ever face or any failure you have ever made that will ever separate you from the love that I, your God, has for you. This Reformation Sunday, friends, we remember that if we hold to his teaching, we'll know the truth. We'll be his disciples. We'll know that truth that sets us free. Truth that only Jesus gives grace. That free gift that you and I could never earn by our works, but that free gift that sets us free. Free to be bold and hopeful. Free to be loving and serving. Free to be sharing and witnessing to others of all that God has given to us. It's that grace that changes us. I was a 21-year-old. And when I learned what grace was, I realized it was going to take more faith for me to try to step out and live my life without Jesus and without the Word than it was to believe in Him. That's all faith is. Faith is saying, I may have this resource and that resource and that resource, but they can't get me where I really want and need to go. Only Jesus can. And grace just trusts that, holds on to that, hopes for that. It's only grace that comes from Jesus, and it's only a gift. Only that gift that he would give and he would offer, not anything you and I would earn. It's not as if somehow God looked and said, well, you know, that character over there, if I show him a little bit of grace, I bet he could really make a difference in the world. It's not as if someone's going to respond any better than another. It's nothing in us at all. It's just a gift, and it's just received by faith. That precious gift of grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone is coming to us by Jesus alone. You can't work your way to it. You can't think your way to it, feel your way to it, sacrifice your way to it. It's by faith and faith alone. That saving truth, no matter whatever else the world tells us, that things are good or things are bad, that saving truth gives us the hope for any up or down that we face. And may that saving truth be what we celebrate today and what we share with others all life long. Amen? Amen.